Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And one thing you have to concede about John Bolton's book, it's been successful. Not all political books are. This one is. It sold 780,000 copies in its first week. We'll be speaking to former National Security Advisor John Bolton just a minute from now. And what does he think about the idea of foreign policy helping to shape this election campaign? And what would have happened had he been appointed Secretary of State at the beginning of the administration rather than coming on as President Trump's third national security advisor of the fourth that he's had? He's also had four chiefs of staff. What's going on with the Trump administration exactly? We will talk a little bit about that with John Bolton. But first, it's fascinating to me to see folks actually taking a look at polls and taking a look at interviews and taking a look at studies and then reluctantly coming up with the conclusion that no, this election is not in the bag for Joe Biden. There's a fascinating piece, a great big piece on the front page of the New York Times. And they feature the headline on the piece, "They backed Trump in 2016, but not this year." And this focuses on the six crucial states that are going to determine Trump's future and his success or failure in re-election. States are North Carolina and Florida and Arizona and then, of course, Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. Those six states. Those are your six battleground states, and I think most political observers would agree. And they run this piece that says they backed Trump in 2016, but not this year. The subheading is defectors say conduct has been appalling. And then they use a pull quote. And the pull quote is from Judith Goines, who's a finance executive at a home building company in Fayetteville, North Carolina. They quote her as saying, "I think if he weren't such an appalling human being, he would make a great president. Because I think what this country needs is somebody who isn't a politician." And what's fascinating to me is they are honest enough, at least, when you actually read this piece rather than just reading the headlines, to acknowledge that this is not necessarily bad news at all for President Trump. They write in the New York Times, front page story, "These voters who backed Mr. Trump in 2016 but say there's not really any chance they will back him this year represent just 2% of all registered voters in the six states most likely to decide the presidency, according to these polls." Just 2%. They then add, "but they help explain why the president faces a significant deficit nationwide and in the battleground states." Okay, they write this then later on and acknowledge it, and it's very important to understand. And they have 2% of the people in these battleground states who voted for President Trump who say they won't back him this time. There are also 2% of Hillary voters, which balances this out almost exactly because those battleground states were all close. 2% of Hillary voters say they definitely will vote for President Trump. And then again, they actually come to one of the secrets. Isn't that remarkable? In other words, they make a gigantic deal out of the fact that there are 2% of Trump supporters. 2% of the electorate, it's actually a full 6% of Trump supporters, but 2% of the electorate who say, okay, we voted for Trump last time, but this time, no way. they don't say they're definitely voting for Biden. They just say they're not going to vote for Trump. Maybe some of them won't show up. And yet, at the same time, there are 2% of Hillary voters, people who say, I voted for Hillary in 2016, but I'm voting for Trump this time. It seems to me that is interesting and does not really reflect the nature of this headline. And then there are other things that I think that have to do with the campaign and the shape of the campaign that are points that are made in the Wall Street Journal, which has two very good columns right next to each other, one by Daniel Henninger and one by Karl Rove. And Daniel Henninger addresses this charge that right now somehow the spirit of revolution, the spirit that you celebrate on Independence Day, coming right up, that spirit right now is captured by the folks who are actually at the barricades, the former CHOP people in Seattle, the people surrounding City Hall in New York, the people who are marching in streets and calling for, well, what exactly? And he makes this point at the conclusion of his column, and I think it's profound. He says, it is a misstatement to call what is going on now an American revolution. The Declaration's revolution was about creating a new nation. Today's claimants see the future as de novo, meaning empty, nothing, a blank slate, an exercise in elimination. It is closer to what the ever-ironic 1960s radical anarchist Abby Hoffman called revolution for the hell of it. That isn't enough. Henninger writes, this weekend's 4th of July is the 244th anniversary of America's first revolution. It remains the benchmark against which any successor idea must be measured. And he makes the point that in the Declaration of Independence, not only did they call for governments are instituted among men deriving their just power from the consent of the governed, not only did it call for respecting the right, inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but it had very specific indictments of King George. In other words, if you read the back end of the Declaration of Independence, it's very direct about what they're complaining about. He says, this is the most notable July 4th in a long time because the United States, all of a sudden, is in a revolutionary moment. Each year, nearly every town holds a 4th of July parade and celebrates with the evening fireworks. This year, the coronavirus pandemic means few parades, while in New York and elsewhere, massive nightly fireworks are intended to intimidate, not to celebrate. He's talking about the demonstrations and so forth. Among the most striking differences between revolutionaries then and now is that the signers of the Declaration actually offered a bill of particulars for their intention to separate. One is struck by the tone of optimistic defiance in the Declaration's text. Compare it with the pro forma, almost cookie-cutter language in statements from boards of directors at Princeton or the American Museum of Natural History, who instead sound like defeated men and women. Wherever the current revolt may end, it's hard to see our own confused, wan elites as the heirs to this country's original leadership. That's entirely true, it seems to me. I think the same basic point is echoed by Karl Rove in his column, which is not enough to say, we want something different. We don't like this. We're going to dismantle that. One of the questions that I don't think anyone has credibly answered is, okay, they're taking down all of these statues from pillars. The state of Virginia, actually it was the city of Richmond that did it. They had a statue of Stonewall Jackson, Thomas Jonathan Jackson. They took that down in Richmond, but replaced by what? And that's what we'll talk with John Bolton about. Okay. problems with clarity on foreign policy replaced by what? John Bolton, author of The Room Where It Happened, coming up. Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com? They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there, because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kenger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ACH.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to ACSH.org today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The headline over at the Wall Street Journal says a John Bolton memoir sells over 780,000 copies in its first week. That's remarkable for a book that actually the Trump administration went to court to try to stop. And John Bolton served in high foreign policy positions in the administrations of Ronald Reagan, George Herbert Walker Bush, and George W. Bush when he was the acting ambassador to the United Nations. His new book, which we've posted on our website, is called The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir. And I actually picked it up basically accepting what I had heard in the press about John Bolton and his book, which was that this was a takedown of the Trump administration. It's not that simple. First of all, the book's surprisingly readable. And one of the reasons it's readable is John Bolton is not only tough on President Trump, but he's scathing when it comes to many of President Trump's critics. And he goes through in the book a number of situations where he and Trump agree on crucial matters in foreign policy. Ambassador Bolton, I'm honored to speak to you, and congratulations on the great success of the book that we were just talking about. Let me ask you this.
Well, thanks for having
book,
me. Glad to be with you.
Oh, it's great to talk to you again. At the beginning of your book, you speak about some of the flirtation that went on with the administration and top people like Steve Bannon at the time and Jared Kushner and Reince Priebus. There was some consideration that you might be considered for Secretary of State ahead of Rex Tillerson. Didn't work out that way. How would history have been different, do you think, if President Trump had selected you as his first Secretary of State? Do you think you could have helped the administration to a more steady foreign policy?
Well, I don't know, but it's a fair question whether both President Trump and I would have been better off if I were five or six blocks away from the White House in Foggy Bottom rather than just down the hall and somebody else had been National Security Advisor. It's two very different jobs. One is a huge management job, a huge diplomatic job. The other is much more inside baseball, inside the White House. But, you know, you play the hand that's dealt you, and it's an interesting hypothetical, but one we'll never know the answer to.
Well, you quote Condi Rice in the book as saying that Secretary of State is the best job in government. She was Secretary of State, and she says, National Security Advisor, your job is the hardest job in government. She was that, too. In terms of the job as National Security Advisor, which you held for 17 months, do you think it's credible that nobody informed President Trump about this evidence of Russian bounties for killing Americans in Afghanistan?
Well, I'll just speak, if I may, to the current situation. Press reports about things that I supposedly did back in 2019. I've no commented on them, and I'll stick with that. But looking at the situation today, if I were in place today, I certainly would have brought this to the attention of the president, even if there was dissent within the intelligence community, or even if there were additional corroboration that might be necessary. Because when you have a nuclear power promising money to terrorists to kill American service members, that's something that the president should know about, even without proof beyond a reasonable doubt. You know, it's a mistake to say there are only two kinds of intelligence, that which is fully verified and that which is not. We operate along a spectrum of uncertainty. It goes with the territory. And at least to give the president a heads up, not to propose any action, but to say, you need to know this because we've told the Brits and others, I'm surprised it didn't happen.
Okay, which would be worse, do you think, for the Trump administration if it turned out that actually people did keep this intelligence from President Trump while they were trying to figure out whether it was viable, or if they had communicated to him somehow and he hadn't taken action?
Well, I think it would be the latter, and it would be unfortunately of a piece with the difficulty that he seems to have in understanding that the Russians don't have our best interest at heart. He says he doesn't remember it. He says it's fake news. It's, you know, he's had several stories over the past 4 or 5 days. And I write in the book, and I think demonstrate in several places, the president has trouble owning decisions. He's happy to claim them when they're successful, but when they don't go as his advisors and he hoped, it's not his decision. So in this case, I worry that he's worried about the failure of the Afghan peace negotiations, and this is his way of saying, well, this isn't my fault. I didn't know anything about it.
Okay. When you look back on your months of service in the Trump administration, which are so dramatically and vividly portrayed in your book, The Room Where It Happened, which is posted at our website at michaelmedved.com, when you look back on that, what's your biggest regret, you would say, about your service?
Well, look, I'm sure I made my share of mistakes. I think I recount a fair number of them in the book. But the biggest regret is that my going in hope that I could work together with the president, that we could pursue a strong American foreign policy, have clear objectives, have a sustained effort to reach them, that it didn't work out. And it's not just, I think, my regret. I think there's a large alumni association from the Trump administration of people who didn't necessarily agree with me on all of the specific policies, but had the same objective that given the way Trump operates in this ad hoc, idiosyncratic decision-making calculus based on no underlying philosophy, I'm not sure there's much more we could have done. Maybe we should have stayed longer. Maybe we shouldn't have quit. I've been criticized for not quitting soon enough and criticized for not staying on longer. I don't know ultimately whether there was a different outcome, but I certainly regret that we didn't get a different outcome.
Well, you also attack the Democrats very harshly for impeachment malpractice. The impeachment worked out to be a disaster for them and for the country. Why?
Well, you know, I think the approach was much too partisan. It was not the Watergate approach where many Republicans tried to work with Democrats to see what the right outcome would be. And the consequence, I think, was exactly the opposite of what the impeachment advocates wanted. You know, they say, well, he's always impeached, and that'll be a constraint on Trump's behavior. But, in fact, by being acquitted in the Senate, I think Trump got exactly the opposite message. He's not deterred from this conduct. He's emboldened to engage in it again in a second term if he gets it. That's the real downside for the country of this, what I do call impeachment malpractice.
The book, The Room Where It Happened. Ambassador John Bolton, an honor to speak to you. Congratulations on the success of your book. We'll be right back.
The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is celebrating another strong jobs report. The Labor Department reporting 4.8 million jobs were added in the month of June.
This is the largest monthly jobs gain in the history of our country. The unemployment rate fell by more than 2 percentage points, down to just about 11%. We're down to the 11% number. We started at a number very much higher than that. As you know, we broke the record last month, and We broke it again this month in an even bigger way.
AAA reports 97% of vacations will be road trips this summer. Health experts say if you need to stop and eat, order the food to go. Experts are also saying to designate one person to pump gas and then have them wash or sanitize their hands thoroughly. Reports out there say 7 of 10 hotel rooms are empty because people are driving straight through to their destinations. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Show, we'll all be looking for America and looking to be honor America over the 4th of July holiday, the Independence Day holiday. And certainly a great way to do it involves recommitting ourselves to the principles of the founders. And those principles are extraordinary. I'm participating in an online conference after the show today, which actually asks the question, what's so great about America? And one of the things that is so great about America, one of the synonyms for great that you can find if you just Google this, there are about 40 of them, but one of them is exceptional, and is that America actually has a birthday. It didn't just happen. It didn't just grow up. You could say, what's the birthday of France? I don't know. French people, you could say Charlemagne in the 800s, and it's unclear because French people have lived there for a long time. But America was created with an act of will. And we know what its birthday was, and we know why that birthday occurred. And why people were drawn to this country and signed on to those principles. It's a country based not on blood or soil primarily, but based on ideas. And that is extraordinary within the whole scope of human history. One of those ideas implies rule of law. And yes, that is under threat right now by folks who conducted experiments like the grand experiment at CHOP in Seattle, which of course proved to be a complete disaster. The truth of the matter is that, guess what? When policing goes away, people, especially people of color, are far less safe. And Peter Kersenow, who is a member of the United States Commission on Civil Rights, he is African American, he spoke on Fox News about the current push to defund the police. What will the impact be? Listen.
Defunding cops, especially in this cops environment, transcends your garden variety political stupidity and irresponsibility and starts to veer toward insanity and almost criminal negligence. We have, it's almost tantamount to, say, defunding a hospital's ICU in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. After Ferguson, we had police withdraw from active policing again, for some reasons due to political opprobrium and also because of consent decrees, and we saw a significant spike in crimes after a 30-year decline in overall crimes. And the spike was not 1 or 2% that you might see on a year-to-year basis. In my hometown of Cleveland, it was a 90% spike in homicides, and the 50 largest cities in the United States all saw a double-digit increase in violent crime.
Okay, that's a very important to acknowledge. And let me acknowledge here that I've been friends with Peter Kersenow. We've met on several occasions in Cleveland, where I've been doing programs there and where he's based. And he goes on to talk about who the main victims of defunding police are likely to be. Listen.
The people who are going to be affected by this are not the, you know, theater arts majors who are scrambling back to the suburbs after a fun night of protesting and virtue signaling. It's going to be the people in black neighborhoods. We've got the data on this. You can almost predict to a decimal point how many more people are going to die. We've already seen significant increases in violent crime in places like Chicago, New York, L.A. People get killed, and if Black Lives Matter, you want to fund the cops to make sure the hundreds more, it'll be hundreds more blacks are going to be killed because of this. It's predictable. We've seen it several times before. It's going to happen again.
Okay, this actually goes to one of the fundamental questions in the campaign. If the defund the police or abolish the police mantra keeps going, if you have more cities like the city of New York, where the budget that the city council has authorized would cut $1 billion from police spending, if that becomes an issue nationwide, it's very obvious the American people are not going to accept it. Here's the fascinating thing to me. Right now, they took a survey of one of these many, many surveys of voters. And for people who are planning to vote for Biden, 87% say they're angry at the way things are going in the United States. But here's a shock, right? Of people who are supporting President Trump, 47% say they're angry at the way things are going in the United States. And you know why? Because of stuff like this. Stuff where they view President Trump, and I think that those half of Trump voters who are voting for him, despite the fact they're angry the way things are going, see President Trump as the only shield against this sort of insanity. The one thing that President Trump needs to do, and this is a point that Karl Rove makes in an important column, he points out the president is behind with less than 18 weeks ago, and he's trailing by more than Harry S. Truman in 1948, more than George W. Bush in 2004, and more than Barack Obama in 2012. But all of them rallied to win. But 2016 should give every pundit a gigantic dose of humility. Don't count this president out. The Democratic nominee, writes Karl Rove, can't hide forever. Mr. Trump has powerful tools. And polls show that on the most important issue in presidential elections, the economy, Americans trust him over Joe Biden. Does that have something to do with the fact that Joe Biden has been forced to embrace all kinds of radical left-wing ideas about the economy? I think it does. Rove writes, a reset is necessary for President Trump, and he suggests a reset is a presidential address on new policy initiatives or a significant change in tone that allows the White House to say credibly that the country is moving in a new direction, repositioning the president, confronting Senate Democrats over their decision to block consideration of Senator Tim Scott's police reform measure, the justice bill. That presents one such reset opportunity. So what kind of reset is particularly necessary? And Rove gives an example of how Bush won re-election, how Obama won re-election, by coming up with new things, new goals that they would do on a second term. When President Trump was asked about this on Fox recently, he didn't really come up with a specific agenda item for the second term. There are so many that need undertaking. It's not just a question of completing the work of the first term, and it's not only a question of more fine judicial appointments. That's been the greatest achievement, it seems to me, of the administration so far. It has to do with a range of other issues. And the one thing that would be most important would be for the president to indicate to the American people, okay, this reset for a second term, and probably that won't come until, it won't come in over this holiday at Mount Rushmore, but it probably will come in Jacksonville, Florida, where the president plans to give his acceptance speech at the end of August. Too soon to start talking about a reset? We will get to that, and Kelly McEnany taking on BLM, that and much more, plus the opening of the Hamilton movie. Today, coming up on the MedVet Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVet Show. That's 1-800-955-1776.
This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is, the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Rovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 and AmericanFederal.com. Right now, at this moment of crisis, a lot of people have a lot more on their minds than just normal aches and pains. But I'll tell you why dealing with those normal aches and pains is so important. Because one of the things you need to do to strengthen yourself, to help face all of the challenges that are out there, is regular exercise. And if you're hurting, if your legs or your feet or your arms are hurting, you can't do it. Relief Factor really can help. The 3-week quick start is here to stay. It's discounted all the way down to $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. There are no drugs, no chemicals, just good, healthful stuff. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Call them directly, 800-500-8384. Go to michaelmedved.com and click on the banner. That's michaelmedved.com. Click on the banner or call 800-500-8384.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's. 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hi, Bill Hyde here for Safe Places USA. If you're thinking it might be finally time to move out of a dangerous urban area to a safer place before things get worse, pay close attention. Because the feeling in your gut, the one telling you to get out, could save your life. Here's why. You can now find out where the safest places in this country are by going to SafePlacesUSA.com and checking out the Ultimate Relocation Manual. It's your personal guide to the tips, tricks, and techniques for relocating your family to the safest places in America. All broken down in 15 strategic, critical categories along with checklists and preparation sources. So if you want a clear path to getting out of Dodge, go to SafePlacesUSA.com. That's SafePlacesUSA.com. Use coupon code GCN and get half off the manual all this week. Plus, get the following books free with your Ultimate Relocation Manual. Pandemic Survival Secrets. Your Home, Your Fortress. All free this week at SafePlacesUSA.com.
States, I do think the overwhelming majority of our people, including people on the left, including people who are 100% sure to vote for Joe Biden, actually love the country and are grateful for being here. And part of the importance of this campaign is going to be an ability to come together again as Americans without viewing the nation on the cusp of a civil war. And civil war right now is explosive enough. They even changed the name of the game between Oregon State University and the University of Oregon, which for 124 years was known as the Civil War. Okay, can't say that anymore. We don't want a civil war. We don't need a civil war, and crucial to avoiding it will be getting a little bit of a dose of sanity. Karl Rove is talking about the president pressing reset and offering a clear second-term agenda. And it's obvious if he does that, one of the things he's going to talk about is that infrastructure bill. One of the things that he spoke about for his first term never got to. And it may be another way of helping economy, which had very good news about it today. But Rove said Americans need to see competence equal to the country's challenges and a bold second-term agenda. Anything that undermines this, a needless tweet, a focus on a less important topic, or a feud, increases the odds that Mr. Trump will be a one-term president. And I think he's right, of course. Is the one thing that allowed George W. Bush to win re-election, despite the fact that he was wildly controversial, he was at one point way behind John Kerry in that election of 2004, was a certain amount of discipline and focus and going forward. And right now, I think part of that discipline, focus, and going forward should be rallying the country behind law enforcement. Kayleigh McEnany was asked something about BLM, Black Lives Matter, at the press conference. And she's the White House press secretary, of course. And what's remarkable about this is there was this Harvard graduate we just spoke about who lost her job because she had posted something saying that she was so passionately committed to the idea of Black Lives Matter that anyone who dared to say all lives matter, she said and repeated and seemed to mean that she was going to stab them. that kind of intolerance doesn't work that well. Here is the president's press secretary talking about Black Lives Matter.
Why is the president calling Black Lives Matter a symbol of hate?
Well, what the president was noting is that that symbol, when you look at some of the things that have been chanted by Black Lives Matter, like pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, that's not an acceptable phrase to paint on our streets. Look, he agrees that all Black Lives Matter, including that of Officer David Dorn, Patrick Underwood, two officers whose lives were tragically taken amid these riots, all Black Lives do matter. He agrees with that sentiment. But what he doesn't agree with is an organization that chants pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, about our police officers, our valiant heroes who are out on the street protecting us each and every day.
Americans of all races have protested in all 50 states around that phrase, Black Lives Matter. And the president is here calling it a symbol of hate.
He's talking about the organization.
Okay, I think that is a tough language that is only going to get the president into trouble. What he talked about as a symbol of hate is the slogan defund the police or other less printable words about the police, because that does betray a damaging hatred. And if, in fact, Black Lives Matter, and they do, what about one black life that has not gotten much attention at all? The life of Lorenzo Anderson. He was killed at age 19. Where? How? He's killed in CHOP, in the Capitol Hill occupied protest. His father, Horace Lorenzo Anderson, actually came on to Fox News to talk about his son's death. Listen, that's clip 6A.
But I'm numb. I'm still numb. Today, I got to bury my son tomorrow, you know, and it's just been a lot going on, and my whole thing and my whole life is, man, this is incredible. And I'm like, you know, I still to this day, it's been almost 2 weeks. I haven't heard from nobody. Has nobody called? They still ain't. Ain't nobody called me or try to find me. And his ID is my ID, so his number is my number. So they can. It's easy to come for the detective and say, "Hey, excuse me, knock on my door. Excuse me, let me tell you what happened about your son, or let me. I don't know nothing. I had to find my son. They wouldn't even let me see my son that night. It took me a whole week before I can see my son."
And part of the reason and part of the problem was there were no police available. Police were not allowed in that area. They had been driven out of the East Precinct. And if you listen to Horace Lorenzo Anderson, he breaks down and he states the obvious. They obviously needed to act much more decisively and directly on this nonsense of CHOP. Listen.
Man, this is incredible. These are kids, man. I'm 50 years old. Man, these are kids, man. They should have been stopped this a long time ago. It's starting to get, excuse me, but it's getting to a point, you know where, you know it's getting.
I'm so sorry.
Somebody would ask for this. And they need to come talk to me, and somebody need to come tell me something, because I still don't know nothing. And somebody need to come to my house and knock on my door and tell me something. But, you know, I don't know nothing. All I know is my son was, he got killed up here, and he's just a 19-year-old. No, that's Horace Lorenzo Anderson. That's my son, you know, and I love him. And that was my son.
Okay, he's of course entirely correct. And when people endorse the cause, Black Lives Matter, and everyone should, because Black Lives do matter. And yes, there is a special problem, but the special problem is not being massively killed by police officers. I'm sorry, the numbers aren't there. It is being massively killed in crime, like the kind of crime with no suspects identified that claimed the life of Lorenzo Anderson. The piece about this CHOP experiment, World Without Police, it's a fine piece by Christopher Rufo in the City Journal. And he says, in the end, the homicide rate in the CHAZ, another name for CHOP, turned out to be 1,216 per 100,000, nearly 50 times greater than Chicago's. Though that's obviously not a strict apples-to-apples comparison, the small sample size of the CHAZ creates an exaggerated statistical effect. It's instructive nonetheless. And if you look at the normal rates, and this was in the Seattle Times, the normal rates of assault, of robbery, of murder, of attempted murder, was way up when you withdraw police. And the idea that the only time you say their names is if someone perishes in an encounter with a police officer. Of course, that deserves special attention because police are supposed to keep us safe, not to ever take our lives. But maybe there also needs to be some more attention, and it can be part of the campaign, with people who perish in street shootings. It happens every weekend in Chicago. It happens around the country, and it happened right here in Seattle. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the release of a musical that is actually patriotic, and yet it's been embraced by the left. Why? What's the special magic of Hamilton? And is this movie version released today by Disney, is that actually worth seeing? We'll talk about that and more. A new film for kids that is out, and what is it that makes America great? In fact, makes us this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.